Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched a central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Yeah, my epitome, a group of men, it doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Welcome to Tokens Radio Show. It's Sunday, April the 7th, and my name's Christy.
I'm Linda.
Peter.
And Lauren.
And our guest, Jesse Parsons. Say hello, please.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, Jesse Parsons here.
Great. Good to have you back. And Elizabeth.
Lucky gal.
Yeah.
Lucky gal is in El Salvador or on her way back attending the having party.
Yeah. I'm jealous.
Yes.
Why should you be jealous? You went to the beach.
That's a good point.
Just saying.
We're broadcasting live from the studios of KCNR in Redding, California on both 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. You can stream us online at KCNR1460.com to catch today's show and access our past shows. Follow us on Telegram and X for updates at Tokens Radio Show. And we have our talented producer, Christina, back in the booth today.
Good hey, Christina.
Welcome. Good to have you, Christina.
She's great.
Yes, she is.
Hi,
good.
Everybody. I don't know if you hear me.
Yes, we do.
Yep, we can.
Because we have one mic connected.
Oh, that's yeah. Right. That's yeah, right.
So I
forgot.
I will unconnect myself in a second, but thank you so much for introducing me, and I'm so happy to see you again.
Thank you.
It's always
glad nice you're here.
Her. Here.
So it's good to be back. We've been off for Easter vacation. And
hope everybody had a great Easter.
Yeah, it was very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I ate way too much food.
Mm-hmm. Likewise.
Yeah. But it was worth it.
We had birthday party with my granddaughter,
oh, nice.
So it was like 4 days of festivities. It was a lot of fun.
Oh,
I thought
fun.
You said you were too old to party for days.
You know, I did say that, but somehow I was able to make that work.
Thank you for reminding me that I can do it. So now we can try this here in the near future.
We bought more candy than we could stuff in our eggs, so all the leftover candy I got to eat.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I bet that was terrible.
Kids have been asking me for it, but I'm like, no, you got your eggs, so it's fine.
But, Dad, why are you buying 20 bags of candy?
I have to test them and make sure that they're okay.
Yeah.
Well, as I said earlier, we have a returning guest and friend of the show here today. It's Mr. Jesse Parsons. He's the co-founder from the Coin Trading Company. And we have Peter, who's back in the studio as well. So it's we have a full studio, and
once
the energy
again.
Is really good. So we're going to get the show started with a market update. So currently, Bitcoin is at $69,338. IBIT ETFs is at $38.60. Ethereum sitting at $33.97. XRP took a little bit of a slump at 59 cents. And XLM is at 12 cents.
Still not a bad market there.
No, not at all.
At all.
Not too late.
Not too late.
Never too late. Never too
early.
Late. Yeah.
Still early.
Today's show is sponsored by the Queen of Dragons, home to Pinnacle Cultivators. Their carefully cultivated, unique strains offer elevated experiences with exotic genetics and robust flavors. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Blah, blah. Stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771.
If you'd like to join our show today, give us a call at the station, 530-605-4567, or hit us up on our chat at KCNR1460.com.
That cracks me up every time. Hit me up.
Hit you up.
Hit me
yeah.
up.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to get into it with Jesse today. We've introduced him. He's the co-founder of, Coin Trading Company.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Jesse.
Yeah, definitely. I guess ever since probably the first article in the newspaper came out about Bitcoin, probably back in 2009 or 10, I read it with interest and thought someday I'm going to have to learn more about that. And back then, there was about an annual article in the newspaper. Like every year, there'd be, hey, this new thing called Bitcoin. And every year, I'd read it with interest, and hey, I'd like to learn more about that. Finally, in 2016, I put some action to it and went and bought my first Bitcoin. And back then, you actually took cash down to, like, you're talking to the seller through, like, localbitcoins.com or something, and they give you their account number at Wells Fargo, and you take cash down to your local Wells Fargo branch and deposit cash into their account, take a photo of the receipt, and text them the photo of the receipt to prove that it was you that did it, and then they send you the Bitcoin. So the next day after I bought the Bitcoin from that seller, he texted me and said, hey, I'm teaching people how to do this for a living. Is it something you want to learn how to do? And my business partner and I at the time were kind of intrigued. So we took his class, and we learned how to sell Bitcoin for a living, and ever since then we've been running the coin trading company. I think we paid him 16 Bitcoin to take that class. Wow. So,
well, back in 2017, that wasn't
2016.
In 2016, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was quite a bargain.
Yeah, that's crazy. I thought that I'd been around for a while, but I don't think I bought Bitcoin until 2017. So you guys really came on the scene probably even prior to like Coinbase then, or what? When did Coinbase?
I bought my first Bitcoin from Coinbase during 2016.
Okay. Yeah. So it was close. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was close to then. So,
yeah,
sorry.
That's pretty interesting though. When you said you took money down to a bank account and put it in a bank account and took a picture of it.
It's crazy.
That's how you did it back then.
So.
Right.
Wow.
Boy, that was a trustful transaction.
Well, there was local Bitcoins was a website that had some kind of an escrow involved.
Right.
So,
okay.
So the seller had to deposit his Bitcoin into the local Bitcoins platform.
Mm. All right.
So
yeah, but
I wasn't trusting
still.
The seller. I was trusting the local Bitcoins platform.
Like a clearinghouse.
Yeah,
the early phases of a smart contract.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. So currently we run an over-the-counter trade desk, which means we sell Bitcoin to people that don't like Coinbase or that don't like other exchanges. So we basically an exchange has an order book of buyers and sellers, and they match up the buyer with the seller. And an over-the-counter trade desk like us, we are the buyer or we are the seller. So we're selling directly to our clients from our own inventory or buying back from our clients for our own inventory. So if we're out for the day, it's like, sorry, we're all out of Bitcoin today. Call us tomorrow and maybe we'll have some more. So,
do you have a certain amount that you have to purchase through you? Or
our minimum trade size is about $2,000. We do charge a 3.5% spread. So there's no fees or anything like that, but the market the price that we sell to you at is about 3.5% higher than the market price.
Oh. Right.
That's interesting. With the emergence of the ETFs and whatnot, I've really heard the OTC word thrown out a lot. What kind of market are we talking when we're talking OTCs? How many people like you are out there? Or how many OTCs? Because I notice a lot of people saying the ETFs are using OTC to actually obtain a lot of their Bitcoin. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I think when we started, there were a lot of people like me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all using a platform called Local Bitcoins or Coin Mama, or I think there was another one too. A lot of those guys are out of business today. We've been one of the few that have been able to stay in business. And the only way we've been able to do that is compliance. So we've been jumping through all of the compliance hoops. As the regulatory environment changes, we've been able to stay up to speed. Today, for a new person to get involved in this business, it would be almost the barrier to entry is really high.
Mm. So you went and you met with Gary Gensler and everything?
No. But we do have our own compliance officer. We do get it's called a Title 31 IRS compliance audit.
Mm.
I think Title 31 originally was about casinos, but somehow they twisted it around to make it apply to crypto companies.
I'm sure they did.
So we do have to maintain, we have KYC.
So yeah, I was going to ask
BSA,
you about KYC.
AML, all that.
Yeah.
So we follow all the rules. We don't collect social security numbers yet, but we might have to start doing that soon.
That was going to be one of my next questions.
What do you need then? Like a telephone number and first name, last name?
Yeah, right now we're collecting just a photo of your ID and then just a short phone interview to ask you about source of funds. And if you say, I'm a terrorist or a money launderer, then we can't trade with you. So,
What about part B to my question too? Just out of curiosity, because I'm often when I hear, people randomly tweeting or people saying like, hey, these ETFs are buying a lot of their coins on, these over-the-counter markets. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, definitely. So like I said, at the beginning there was lots, but now there's very few over-the-counter trade desks except for some of the big players. We're probably one of the smaller players in the industry. But Cumberland has been around for a while, and they're a subsidiary of DRW, which is one of the largest trading firms in the world. And I think they have Singapore, London, and Chicago.
Okay.
So you can contact Cumberland's trade desk 24/7. There will be somebody available to sell to you.
Hey, Jesse, on the issue of regulation, what do you think about that platform Prometheum? What would a guy like you say about that?
I actually am not super familiar, so I can't really speak to that yet. Well, but I've heard
they've passed the government was showcasing them as an example of somebody who just did what we said. They just came on in, and look how well it went for them.
Interesting. I bet they had a lot of backing and probably some handshake. Yeah, they must have known somebody.
Well, they don't. Are they trading yet, Lauren?
Oh, I don't know. My mind's still spinning about these coins and these over-the-counter things. So
Kraken and Coinbase both have their
own. Oh,
they have their separate over-the-counter trade desk now as well.
Okay.
I think it's called the Kraken Pro. They have their trade desk, basically. So if you want to trade off exchange with Kraken, you can contact some of their guys directly.
Right. And so they might deal directly with some of these ETF folks that are actually looking
to. They probably do.
Yeah.
Coinbase and Kraken might both have some of the ETF guys that they're selling to.
Folks like you.
The way that works, it doesn't actually change the market price. Because you're trading off order book, so it's not affecting the market price.
That makes
sense.
So you
can make a large purchase without pushing the price up, or you can make a large sale without pushing the price down.
I was wondering about that, too.
Because it's an off order book.
Yeah. So they probably have contacts with a lot of whales or people that are willing to and have coins in excess that they're willing to kick over.
Yes.
One of the things I've also been watching is the number of coins on exchanges, depending on where you look and where you get the information. I was looking on like CoinGlass or one of those, and it said 1.74 million.
Mm-hmm.
When we see these numbers start dropping, which they drastically are, I know a lot of GBTC coins have been falling away lately. Will that impact you guys as well? And will we see a real squeeze when it comes to supply of coins? And if so, that should dramatically increase the price exponentially. No? Am I right?
I think it does affect the price.
Yeah.
And you do see the squeeze and the price go up when the supply dwindles.
Yeah.
I don't know if it affects our business as much. Most of our business is word of mouth.
Okay.
We don't do any advertising. So basically, we're just kind of there. All the counterparties that trade with us, they just tell their friends. So
Exactly. Do I remember when you weren't before something about you're like one of the only ones on the West Coast or something, the other one's out of New York? Was that you?
That wasn't me, but there's Genesis, there's Cumberland, there's a few. There's one in Australia called Caleb and Brown.
Right,
so,
For some reason I had it, you were like the only one on the West Coast, basically, kind of in this area, but I could be all wrong.
I don't know of any others in California, so we might
Maybe that was it, because of California regulations and everything.
Yeah.
That's probably what I
can assure you. Jesse's the only one in our area.
Well, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So you cool. said most of your stuff is via word of mouth, too. I'm assuming people can go to a website, or is it cointradingcompany.com?
Yes,
it is.
Coin Trading and then CO for company. Okay. So cointradingco.com if you want to check out our website. So.
Sweet. I was curious, too, because I've thrown the word out ETF, and it's kind of been my thing on this show. Even though freedom is my primary thing on this show, I just want to throw that out there.
That's everybody's.
Yes, that's what we're here for, freedom.
Yep.
I've thrown out the word ETF a bunch of times. I was just curious to know your thoughts on the ETFs. If it's good, bad, indifferent, what your thoughts are.
I think the hype around it was definitely good. And so when it finally passed, it definitely gave a little boost to the industry.
Sure.
I'm curious, though. I know in the gold and silver markets, the big players are selling gold and silver that doesn't exist.
Right,
and they're selling those paper contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't ETF allow those big players to do that with Bitcoin? And if
so, that's
so,
a potential
negative.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. That's a good point. I've heard another negative being the potential. This is your favorite word, Peter. 6102 attack. I don't know how big these ETFs can get because 90 something percent of Bitcoin is already out and about. So it shouldn't be a huge honeypot, but nonetheless, it could be a potential attack where, you know, a government entity could come and actually seize a honeypot of Bitcoin. So I think that is, you know, for me, there's good and bad in it, but what I've seen is a lot of good, especially watching GBTC bleed coins. It's been a positive. So.
Well, I would imagine, too, if that was to happen, that would be, let's say, the United States doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But these are global funds, right?
Right.
So
it's a good point.
you're going to, it would only be here.
Right.
Now, if all of the countries collaborated and colluded on that, then we're really
highly unlikely. But
highly
yeah.
unlikely. Right.
They did it with the masks quite easily overnight.
I think we've all learned from
that's
the
a good
masks.
Point, Peter.
So hopefully that we have all had a great wake-up call to that.
Mm-hmm. Not well, that I have any strong feelings about the masks.
Yeah.
It did prove that we're a nation of sheeple.
Yes.
That is one
we
thing.
We were. I don't know if we still are.
I hope
are.
People are standing point. Up. I really hope they're waking up to the fact that they should really dive deep and try to seek the truth and use your own brain and make logical decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Be responsible, personally responsible.
And I think it's programs like this for the education, you know, to get information out there is making a big difference.
I agree.
And they don't want it to get out and be widespread that the information is out there to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to make it so it's not.
Right.
And I think that makes a big difference, especially when it comes to Bitcoin and companies like Jesse's and stuff like that. They don't want that information out there to
nope.
know that what's going on.
No, there's a constant stream of FUD against things like this, against Bitcoin, against tools of freedom in general.
Of course. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You were reading something about pomp, weren't you, Christy?
Well, I was. It was talking about how decentralized exchanges are becoming very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's for the reasons that we're discussing right now.
I mean, mm-hmm.
It's just that.
For sure.
Yeah. That people don't want to be going to, you know, a centralized exchange.
I've witnessed something in the decentralized area over the last 6 to 12 months. Certain wallets used to allow, say, swapping with no KYC.
Right.
And then now those same wallets suddenly want the KYC. Could you imagine that?
Well, I think it all depends on, well, when you say wallet.
Like, as an example, the SafePal wallet that Binance puts out. It's kind of a Swiss Army knife with 1,000 different blades.
But that would be a Binance product.
Yeah.
So they're required to have KYC.
But right? Not in the olden days, like 12 months ago. That
that's
didn't.
True. No, that's very
right.
true.
And honestly, a lot of wallets like Exodus or Edge or all those wallets have a buy or sell button inside the wallet.
Yes.
The Exodus wallet doesn't buy or sell crypto. So that buy and sell button inside the Exodus wallet will take you to another third party like MoonPay or some other sketchy
right.
third party that
good
you don't
point.
Even know if you can trust. Just because
right.
that button is in the Exodus wallet does not
good
mean
point.
That third party buyer or seller is trustworthy.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. That's a great point.
And they
point.
Have
yeah,
a lot
is.
Of hidden fees a lot of times. So they'll
yes.
have a commission.
MoonPay is not
fee,
cheap.
They'll have a spread. They'll have everything. Yeah.
Right.
So
yep.
So I would kind of counsel against those unless you've really done your research on them.
But remember, we don't dispense any financial advice
no.
here.
No, this is not financial advice.
Education.
Do your own research.
This is educational
just be wary
only.
Is what I'm saying.
This is entertainment
yeah.
when it comes from me.
Buy and sell buttons inside your wallet.
Right. No, that's,
well,
that's very
yeah,
very
it's a
smart.
Very good point because
absolutely.
A lot of people out there wouldn't even think of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? They mm-hmm. would just go, okay, and push the button
mm-hmm.
right.
and not think twice of it.
Right. Yeah, it's
–
no.
If you were going to go to the cointradingco.com website, you're going to see a tab there that prominently says scam warning. And it will educate you on some of the things you need to be aware of. And I would highly advise you
mm-hmm.
to go and visit that and get some information
right.
from the cointradingco.com website.
Smart.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
This is very similar. I used to be in the mortgage game and
I'm sorry, me too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, see? Fees are hidden in different ways, as Jesse pointed out, where somebody will say, hey, I don't get charged fees. But then what they don't realize is they got nailed with this big spread or something else. So there's ways to hide these things. Spread being, hey, you paid, you know, when the price of Bitcoin is $69,420, you paid $70, and the company that sold you that ate the difference.
Lauren, so, I want to speak exactly to that. I discovered how it works on Robinhood.
Yeah.
I put in limit orders, and I expected
mm-hmm.
that when Bitcoin got one penny lower than that
right.
for 1 second, that the order would fill.
Mm-hmm.
So then I go and look at up, and it turns out there's a thing called a collar, which
mm-hmm.
is of adjustable variable width. And if it's not outside of the collar, in other words, if they can't get a spread, just like you're being open about upfront, Jesse,
mm-hmm.
then it never happens. So there's a hidden spread in there.
Yes, there usually is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had to chuckle about the mortgage thing because I do taxes.
Oh, yeah.
And people have been buying and selling real mm-hmm. estate here. and they have their investments. And I was looking, actually, I said, somebody had sold a property, and I said, do you have the closing statement? And they said, no, why? I said, because there's probably fees on there that you can deduct. They said, really? And I said, yeah. So then that they had, like, stocks they had sold. I said, do you have your papers? And they said, no. I said, well, there's, they're going to have, you know, probably what you bought it for. Fees. I said, probably fees. So they brought, ended up bringing in the sheet, and the fees through the, for the stocks was like $6,000. They go, I paid that? I go, yeah.
They
you
wrapped
did.
It into your loan, but you paid
yeah.
it.
Yep, you paid it, baby.
So I got a couple questions. I'm here on your website, and it's pretty cool. And it looks like the coins that you have listed up here, you have pricing for current pricing, what it is on the market today for Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin, Ethereum, et cetera. So I come across Dash, and that is took a beating, politically, let's say it that way. Have they resolved all of their issues? I kind of lost track of that.
I have not gotten a recent update on Dash, but I was a big Dash. I was a big fan back in the day.
Yes, yes. We know Rodrigo, right?
Yes. And I like the way that the blockchain would produce extra coins to for its own benefit, public relations, and all of that. And you could submit projects to promote Dash. And I advise my kids to... just my kids, nobody else, to invest in Dash. And they're still mad at me. So I'm never listening to you again, Dad.
But you never know. Let's talk to him in 10 years, maybe.
Yes. Isn't Dash kind of like Zcash or Monero in sheep's clothing, basically?
It could be. I know that they started out kind of in the dark web, but then they got legitimate. And now they're... I heard, actually, that they were very widely accepted in Latin America.
Oh, big time. Yes.
And so that's what got me interested. I'm like, hey, a coin with this much adoption has got a future. And so I basically invested in it.
I advise all my kids to just stick with Bitcoin.
That's probably smarter.
I'm just trying to get my kid to get started on Bitcoin.
Well, there's that.
You know, we had Rodrigo here on the show, and for that purpose, he did a couple of exposés. He's a very good videographer and puts and try to tell the story of Latin America and how they're using cryptocurrencies, Dash in particular, and Bitcoin, on how to survive, particularly in countries like Venezuela. And the most recent one that we had with him is that he demonstrated on how he could buy his airline ticket here in the United States and start from here, complete trip, all using Dash.
That's great.
And then come back home. And what was really cool just to bring it home is that he was getting a couple liters of gas in Venezuela, and he was showing us, you know, the piles of fiat would have to be used just to buy that amount of gasoline. Mm-hmm. And here he's just, you know, on his phone.
Sending an electronic payment.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Payment. That's great.
Yeah, it really was.
Also, I was wondering, I am not familiar with this coin, XTZ. What is that?
Tezos.
Ah,
yes, Tezos. Okay. We went to the Tezos Foundation meeting in San Francisco a few years ago, so we were pretty close to some of the people higher up in that project. So we posted that one on our website, too.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well,
when
I'm
they first launched, they were the largest launch at that time as far as ICOs go. But that was years ago. Then they got embroiled in some big legal battle where they almost had a hostile takeover from the CEO that they hired or something. And after that court battle finally finished, it seems like they got some real traction, but again, I don't have any recent updates on them. But I still do like Tezos as well. That's one of my favorite projects. So
we've got about a minute or so before we go back to break, and I see XRP. I'm a fan of XRP.
Yep.
How do you, what's your take on that? Do you think they're going to be the payment processor, the primary one?
Yeah, when I first heard about XRP, I was sure they were one of the bad guys. And then as I looked at it, I was like, wait a second, this might be the good guy solution to the bad guy problem. And so I kind of bought into XRP and jumped on the bandwagon. One thing that I kind of go back to is back in 2017 when Bitcoin and everything hit an all-time high in December of 2017, XRP topped out at like over $4, about maybe somewhere near $4.50. Then the next all-time high, when Bitcoin hit 69,000, Ripple XRP didn't do anything.
Right.
And so I'm kind of like banking on that over $4 all-time high.
That would be nice.
But at that time, Ripple was deeply embroiled in legal troubles.
Exactly. So if Bitcoin was 20,000 when Ripple was 450, then Bitcoin today is 70,000, so Ripple should at least be, you know,
right.
I don't know, $9 or $10 is my kind of impression on, you know, if
people
if these
are waking
coins
up
move together.
And that they shouldn't altcoin.
Yeah.
Altcoining, not good.
But at the same time.
As the token Bitcoin maximalist in the realm, I'm going to have to push back.
Go
respectfully,
maxi.
Yep. Respectfully, I've had my share, but I respectfully am a Bitcoin guy.
And I honestly can say I've been getting tired of XRP not performing. And I'm almost ready to be like, all right, sell my position in XRP and move to something like Bitcoin. So
all right.
That.
Well, I guess this is a good spot to take a break.
Let's do it.
Yeah. You are listening to Tokens Radio Show. See you on the flip side. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM.
Your talk radio.
96.5 FM. We'll see you in a few.
Sorry.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
Get ready for a full-throttle weekend of classic cars, hot rods, and rockin' tunes. Mark your calendars for Wind River Resort and Casino's annual Show and Shine on Sunday, April 21st. All ages are welcome to join us for this free event from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Show your classic car and receive a free T-shirt, free slot play, and a $15 dining voucher for season. Spaces limited for show cars. Favorite car wins $50 free slot play and a hotel stay. For complete details, see WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hello, this is Rollin from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind-rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Damian Ward, your host, here with the latest local updates. In a Town Hall exclusive report, mystery surrounds Shasta Lake Mayor's alleged elder abuse and missing classic car. In a shocking turn of events, Janice Powell, Mayor of Shasta Lake and executive employee of the Chamber of Commerce, has been found by the Shasta County Superior Court to have committed elder abuse and financial elder abuse against her elderly parents, Jack and Darlene Powell. This case has taken a mysterious turn as a classic 1968 Chevelle wrongfully transferred to Mayor Powell has gone missing. Court documents reveal that Mayor Powell moved into her parents' home in 2007 without a rental agreement or paying rent. In 2021, Jack and Darlene, both in their 90s, were forced to move into assisted living due to their declining health. Darlene requested that her daughter, Miss Powell, vacate the property so it could be sold to cover their care expenses, but she refused. The situation escalated in June 2021 when Mayor Powell took her father Jack, who had advanced dementia, to the DMV and had him sign over the title of his cherished 1968 Chevelle to her. According to the response to the restraining order, she claims she was holding the title in her name as a backup for her dad as long as he lives. Darlene filed for an elder abuse restraining order against Maripal in October of 2020. Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Damian Ward, your host, here with the... ...passed away the morning of the court hearing, January 3rd, 2022. On November 1st, 2022, Frank Powell, Mayor Powell's brother and co-trustee of their parents' trust, filed a petition against her alleging breach of trust, financial elder abuse, and other charges. The petition also sought to recover the real property and the 1968 Chevelle. Jack Powell passed away in December 2022. During a hearing on May 5, 2023, the court found Mayor Powell guilty of breaching her duties as a trustee by refusing to vacate the home, failing to pay rent, and wrongfully transferring the Chaffell's title to herself. The judge removed Mayor Powell as a trustee and ordered her to return the classic car to Frank Powell by July 15, 2023, and pay the trust of $23,969.78 for unpaid rent. Additionally, the judge imposed $87,939.56 statutory penalty, which was double the amount owed for rent and double the value of the Chevelle, on Mayor Powell for committing elderly financial abuse, which would be deducted from her share of the trust distribution if left unpaid. On November 1, 2023, the matter was escalated when the court issued a writ of possession for the Chevelle after Frank Powell provided evidence suggesting Mayor Powell had moved the vehicle to a relative's home in Shasta County. The court found probable cause to believe that Mayor Powell had feloniously taken the car by means of other than false or fraudulent representation, pretense, or embezzlement. However, when the Sheriff's Department searched for the possible locations on December 12, 2023, they could not locate the car. The court's findings have cast a shadow over Mayor Powell's ability to govern effectively in her standing in the community. As an elected official and representative of the Chamber of Commerce, her alleged actions have raised concerns about her integrity and fitness for office. The public is questioning whether she can continue to serve in her roles given the serious nature of the allegations and court's determinations. Furthermore, the court's finding of probable cause that Mayor Powell feloniously took the 1968 Chevelle raises the possibility of future criminal charges being filed, the disappearance of the classic car, and her failure to comply with the court's order to surrender the vehicle by July 2023 may also have further legal consequences. As this story continues to unfold, the community is left wondering about the fate of Mayor Powell's political career, her standing in the Chamber of Commerce, and the potential legal ramifications she may face. Town Hall Brief will diligently follow the case and provide updates as new information emerges. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, that sounded really good.
It did. Who picked that music?
I picked the music, usually.
Nice.
Thank you.
Oh, great job.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets a little hard. There's so much to choose from anymore. I love music. So anyway, before we took the break, we all were talking with Jesse. Oh, we kind of hit upon all kinds of different things. But before we get back to that, we do have a caller on the line. So let's get to Alan.
A caller. Thank you.
Are you there, Alan? Alan,
hello.
Maybe while we're waiting, I'll give a brief introduction.
Alan.
Yeah, hello.
There
hey,
he is.
Hello. You're on. What you got for us?
I'm enjoying the show so far.
Most of it, right? I know you and I probably had to do a lot of swallows during the altcoin part of it, but as a fellow Bitcoin only kind of guy, right, buddy? Come on.
Well, you know, it's interesting to hear about the altcoins, but, you know, I travel a lot, and I just see people's lives being improved with Bitcoin. So I don't know how people's lives are being improved with the other things, but I don't have enough time, energy to track all the other ones, but I do know that Bitcoin is changing and improving people's lives all over the world. It's incredible.
Yeah, you're right. I can only speak to what I know about Dash, as Jesse was alluding to earlier. That's, I think, the only other coin I can say is changing people's lives outside of Bitcoin. And Alan, it's good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Glad you're here. Are you in El Salvador? Or?
No, no. I was there about 2 weeks ago, but I'm home in Northern California. I'm in Redding today.
Oh,
but,
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, El Salvador has a very unique vibe, and it's really hard to explain to somebody how much they will appreciate what Bitcoin is doing until you get to El Salvador. And, you know, tomorrow there's a little town up in the foothills of the volcano called Berlin, kind of like the Berlin, Germany, Berlin. But this is Berlin, El Salvador. And tomorrow they're having a one-day Bitcoin conference. I mean, this little town, in a year now, in just over, well, maybe less than a year, they have onboarded 100 businesses to exchange, accept, and trade Bitcoin.
Wow.
Their own little circular economy. It's amazing what they have done. And this little town, actually, the outside town, they actually are mining Bitcoin off of some volcanic energy. And so
wow.
It's crazy interesting what's happening up in Berlin. I recommend if you ever go to El Salvador, you got to put Berlin on your places to go.
For sure. Hey, that's actually a great segue, too, because are you going to hang out for a bit? Because I think our next topic was actually to do with mining, right,
yeah.
Christy?
Yes. We kind of wanted
yes,
to hit upon
sure
that,
is.
Yeah.
Hang out and interject.
Okay. I'm not sure I know much about mining, but it's good.
Well, what we've been doing, Alan and our listeners, is that we've been talking quite a bit here on the show, and we've had some mining experts here, mining CEOs of different companies. Christine mm-hmm. Cranley has been here. We've talked, we'll be having Faisal, a remarkable nuclear engineer here next weekend, who is going to be talking about this topic as well. And the whole concept about bringing Bitcoin mining to Shasta County. Now we
that
have jurisdictional, you know, we have jurisdictional issues. We have regulation that are much more stringent here than they are in other states, which is where these mining companies would prefer to operate. But we have such rich resources here. It's like, why not? Why don't we turn the page on this and make it happen?
Right. Yeah. I don't. Alan, you've been listening to the show or prior to this? You probably know we have Jesse.
Right.
Yeah, you probably know we have Jesse Parsons on from the Coin Trading Company.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we chatted with him a little bit about these ideas and about the Bitcoin mining here in Shasta County. Jesse, what is your thoughts on it? What do you think possibilities, next steps? Like, is it a good idea? What is your thoughts on our idea of Bitcoin mining here?
I love it. I think beyond the tax hurdles, somebody that wants to come and set up a business in California has to pay California taxes. But
right.
otherwise, I think, like Christy was saying, the natural resources here are definitely such that it would be easy to set up a mining operation that would use excess electricity, so
right.
it wouldn't even affect the grid. Some people say, you know, it even balances the grid out to
right.
be able
sure.
to use that at the peak, at the right time. So, yeah, so I'm definitely in favor of it. The Bitcoin halving coming up, so the reward is dropping down to, I think, 3.25, and then, or 3.125 maybe.
I was right,
say
3.125.
Yeah. 3.125. So the rewards are dropping, but
mm-hmm.
that doesn't necessarily mean it's less profitable, because
right.
as rewards drop, you know, the price of Bitcoin goes up and
mm-hmm.
or transaction fees can increase. So,
fees,
and that's
sure.
one thing that a lot of people don't recognize is the miners also are getting those transaction fees as well.
Right.
So the profit
mm-hmm.
is there for long term to stay. Even though these halvings are happening every 4 years, the profit is long term. So,
And the miners who innovate and they become more energy, resource savvy,
mm-hmm.
better computers to
mm-hmm.
work with.
Yep.
The more efficient they'll be able to run.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, you know, before we really started talking about the mining with the other companies, and when we did talk with them, they didn't realize how, or they did to a certain degree, how much rich resources that we have actually here in the north state of California.
Yeah, for sure.
Because most people who think of California, you don't think of the resources like what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So mining is a whole different ball game in the north state, comparatively speaking.
Yeah, Christy listed off a long list of people that we've interviewed. One of the people I didn't remember hearing was Bob Burnett.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And barefoot trading.
Barefoot mining.
I'm sorry, barefoot mining.
Right.
Yes.
And I think one of the things he pointed out, too, which might be the biggest obstacle, which Jesse also touched on, was the jurisdictional issues.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I have a question for our caller, Alan. Alan, you mentioned you just got back from El Salvador. My question is, did you feel safe there? And what do you all make of the State Department warning about travel to El Salvador?
You know, that is so overblown. So I just spent a week on a motorcycle traversing the whole country in big towns, small towns. In fact, I carried two Bitcoin miners in a pack on the back of my motorcycle up to the city of Berlin so they can bring education, because they have they actually have a Bitcoin center in Berlin there. We're doing classes, educating local merchants and how Bitcoin works. So I brought these two miners up. But people ask me, well, did you feel safe? Dude, I felt so safe. I saw no bad actors. Now, I imagine if you're in a sketchy neighborhood at nighttime, you should be careful. But I met a woman last year when I was in El Salvador who told me, Alan, I moved away 27 years ago. I come back and visit. But this is the safest I have ever felt in my home country as now. This is a year ago. I mean, so crime has dropped 95%. I would recommend anybody, man or woman, should feel comfortable traveling around El Salvador. I mean, of course, you know, we recommend certain taxis and Ubers to take Bitcoin, of course. But, yeah, there's. I think the fears are overblown. And once people go and realize what's happening, there's a vibe in the local people that has been absent, I'm sure, for decades now, and it's an incredible place to go visit.
And this message was brought to you by the El Salvador Tourism Ministry.
I was going to say, Alan, I don't know if it was more impressive that you were able to get two Bitcoin miners on the back of your motorcycle or that you were actually able to tie in mining with Peter's question. Safety. But you did a great job.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
So awesome. Let me tell you, the purpose of my trip 2 weeks ago was I'm actually putting together a tour for Bitcoiners and motorcyclists this coming November to follow after the Bitcoin conference.
Oh.
So I was out scouting out routes, cool places that Bitcoiners will want to go. Of course, once the tour is all put together, it'll be paid for only in Bitcoin. And so I'll find some Bitcoin-minded people to spend maybe 5 to 7 days traversing the country, and I guarantee you we'll have a great time.
That's a great combination, Bitcoins and motorcycles.
Yes, what could go wrong?
Two wheels. Yes.
Well, and then Bitcoin and beer, right? Bitcoin, beer, motorcycles.
That's right.
Bikes. There's
bikes.
A triple B.
That's right, the triple B. Thank you.
Yeah, BBB.
Yep. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, the other thing you've been quite instrumental in is bringing the story of the Bitcoin education model that's in El Salvador. And is that what was the name of it? Me Bitcoin?
Me Premier.
Yeah, my
Me
first Premier. Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Me Premier Bitcoin.
Yes.
In fact, just so you know, I'm finalizing details to run a course this summer using the Me Premier Bitcoin, my first Bitcoin curriculum. It's a 10-week, 10-lesson course, and I'm finalizing details to run this course this coming summer in Spanish for our local Hispanic community.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Great. That's way cool.
So why don't you get in touch with us when you're ready to do that, and we can have you come on the show and talk about it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Just do it.
Cool.
So let's talk a little bit more about bringing in mining. When we were on a break earlier, we were talking about, you know, the dynamics of our energy supply here in the area. And there's this organization called WAPA, which is the Western Area Power Administration. And that is seems to be one of the hurdles, at least for some of the civic leaders that we've talked about. And what WAPA is that they're like a power broker. And they will make deals, contracts with power suppliers that might be clear across the country. We'll get their pricing, but we don't get their supply because that's almost impossible to happen, right? So we're going to be receiving the supply that's generated here, but getting that pricing, and it almost seems like a, you know, one heck of a shell game.
Seems like the central bank of the electric world. Huh?
So where the hurdle is here that I can see is that WAPA is a central clearinghouse, and so you have to pass through them to be able to get get permission, if you will. Because they're going to be collecting a fee. And I think that's what the bottom line of that whole thing
all
is about.
Is that the
middleman. But nonetheless, I do believe that bringing mining operation here in this region is very possible. I mean, look at what we have. We have hydro. Mm-hmm. We have natural gas. We have biomass.
We do.
We have wind. And we have solar.
Right.
And with the way the mining works, I mean, you could plug right into the existing sources, the direct sources, such as hydro and gas. And then you can go off-grid,
right?
Which is fabulous.
Yep, on either side of the meter.
Yes, absolutely.
Help so stabilize the grid or otherwise.
We're going to do what we continue to do and keep talking to people, and if we can get them to listen, so that we can bring this together. But our goal is to get a commission.
We want a commission. Right. Yeah, because that's the only way that you could be able to look at both sides of it and put it out there to the people of the community and say, here's the negatives, here's their positives. You know, what do you guys think? Like we've talked before, you know, there could end up being a kickback. Going to the registered voters was one way that they do it.
Right.
To get a kickback from the mining.
Yeah, we got to explore all the options.
In order to present this to the public, what the public really needs is education. They have to learn about Bitcoin.
Yes.
Because to learn about it is to love it.
That's right. You bet.
Yeah, well, that's why we do what we do, that education piece.
And why we're so excited about the Bitcoin mining option is to bring it back to the local economy. This area, California just especially, runs on grants. So we have 58 counties in this state, and they're always competing for grants. And generally the state will give a grant to the north and to the south. Generally, two awards. So there's a lot of competition that's going on between the counties. And within this competition has quite a bit of criteria that must be met. And with something like this, when you're dealing with like green energy solutions, it comes with green energy concessions, such as maybe have an electric bus that runs from Shasta Lake all the way down to the Sacramento Airport, which we know will need many hours to recharge, right? So it's not efficient. And that is specifically one requirement on a grant that I know of, and we got a demerit because we could not fulfill that. Didn't make sense. We ended up getting a hybrid, diesel hybrid bus. So these are the things we're challenged with, and Bitcoin mining might be able to just get in the way and be a tier two income stream, not only to stabilize the grid and all of that, but it might help
sever the cord to Sacramento.
It would, and it might pave our streets that we want to have paved.
Give us more
freedom. It might help fund some of the programs that we don't have enough money to fund.
For sure.
And always having to wait for a grant, which comes out of the taxpayers' dollars in some sort of way, and then it's distributed by some sort of commission or board that decides who's going to get that money.
Yeah.
And it just promotes the crypto industry here in Shasta County.
Yes, which is alive and well.
Which educates people. And, I mean, I don't know who said, give me control of the money supply, and I care not who makes the votes.
Exactly.
So, severing that cord to Sacramento is something that I think a lot of people in Shasta County would be in favor of.
And I don't think we're going to ever be able to do that entirely, but we can start nip away at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
not be so reliant on it.
Yeah, there's a quote on our website that says crypto will do to the banking industry what email did to the post office.
Yeah,
yeah, the post office still exists.
That in the early days of fax machines, the post office attempted to do legislation where every fax had to be delivered to the post office and
then delivered
by regular U.S. mail. True story.
They did not want to get cut out.
Yeah.
The middleman.
Yeah. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you bring that up. I just watched a show this morning about the telephone back being invented and the things that went on with that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
People
want
to protect their little sphere of power. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Well, Ellen, I heard you there. Did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to jump into the conversation here.
No.
So it's just, it's a challenge to try to get this to move along. Next weekend, we will have Faisal, this nice young man who's a nuclear engineer. He will be here to speak. And he knows quite a bit about this subject, so I hope that our caller and our audience would tune in next weekend to hear that show. So,
quick question.
Yes?
Is this archived? If I miss it, I can catch it later?
You sure can. Yes.
It sure is.
It's at KCNR1460.com, and you just go up to the archives. You'll see previous shows, and then you can pull ours down. Yes.
Yeah. Perfect.
Pretty soon our website will be back up and you'll be able to get it from there. But right
but
now
you can always get it on,
exactly.
On the radio station one.
Yeah,
great.
Absolutely.
You know, while we're talking about mining and crypto, it's not just here in the North State, but it's something that is so new to people. You know, people are starting to understand the money system more. They're starting to understand these different things that are going on. And it's just going to take a little bit longer, like, we all say, like Peter, the education piece,
right.
For people to make that next little step.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
right.
If you look around the economy, everything is changing. It's going to hell in a handbasket
right.
In a lot of ways. So people are having to start looking at different things that mm-hmm. is out there for them.
Right.
And the risk is that most people like to remain private.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing the show kind of brings people out of the shell
mm-hmm.
To talk with them a little bit more. And this is what we need to continue to do because people do keep this to themselves.
Yep.
Several years ago in an African country that had some kind of hyperinflation, I think that residents were using cell phone minutes as money.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And
yes.
So they just send cell phone minutes back and forth to each other. They don't even actually use their minutes to call people. They use their minutes to pay for things. And
right.
So imagine what crypto could do in a situation
and
like that.
And it worked really well. It was a very well-developed ecosystem.
Absolutely. So crypto is totally that kind of power that does allow people to, you know, send directly to each other. So.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes left. Yeah. Jesse, why don't you tell us how we can get a hold of you, some last parting messages you want to leave with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're so excited to have had you here today, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys
thank you for coming.
Thank you definitely for having me. So, if you need to, basically my business partner and I, we tell people we give free advice. So if you just have questions, feel free to call us up anytime during business hours.
What's that number?
503, so it's an Oregon number, 503-354-1039. And so that's our trade desk. You can reach us during business hours. And then our website, https://cointradingco.com.
Excellent.
So feel free to call us up if you have any questions. If you'd like to get approved to trade with us, we'll take you through the process. So
that's nice. Yes. He has a telephone number.
Yes,
I like
does.
That.
I know,
I
right?
like the phone.
Try to call Coinbase if you have a support issue with Coinbase.
Yeah, I bet.
Right?
Everybody is email.
Open a support ticket and see if you ever hear back.
The people
exactly.
that you get on the phone with Coinbase are so incredibly ignorant. It's not even funny.
Well, they're outsourced. Yes,
right.
they're not even part of
Hey, and
of
if we're plugging things, too, I think we're going to have a Bitcoin meetup in Palo Cedro on the 23rd at the pizza place out there, Good Times Pizza.
Good Times, yeah.
Yeah, so Alan, are you still there?
Actually, that's at Ortega's this month.
It's at
Ortega's
this month. Thanks.
Restaurant.
I'm glad
yeah.
you're there. So it's still Palo Cedro, but Ortega's restaurant in Palo Cedro is 6 o'clock on the 23rd, is it, Alan?
It is, yeah.
So if you guys have any questions or want to know more about – I'm pretty much the Bitcoin guy, no offense to the people who support altcoins, but I know mostly about Bitcoin. So come on out to that, and you feel free to ask me anything about Bitcoin or Alan, because he'll be there as well. and whoever else wants to join us for maybe beer, Mexican food, and some Bitcoin talk.
Oh, and by the way, Ortega's are Bitcoiners as well.
Indeed, they are. They accept Bitcoin at the restaurant.
Yes.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Never know. With that, we're at the end of the show, folks.
Take care, everybody.
Always goes by really quick. So until next week, and thanks again, Jesse, for coming in. We really appreciate it, and I hope to have you back in the near future.
Sounds good.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
But he came to save the day when he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be. He gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Or Bitcoin.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.